Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 3, text number 14. Is that correct? Yeah. Echas tushu shatam vidvan. Etats tushu shatam vidvam. Suta no harhasi. I'm sorry. Suta nor hasi vasitum. Suta nor hasi vasitum. Kata hari kato dharka. Kata hari kato dharka. Satam su sadasi dhruvam. Satam su sadasi dhruvam. Etat sushu shatang vedan. Suta norha siva situm. Kata hari kato dharka. Satang siu sarasi dhruvam. Ladies, Vidvan Suto nor hasivasitum Kati harikato darkam etat this sushrutam of those eager to hear vidvan O learned Sutta Sutta Goswami na unto us arhasi may you do it basitum just to explain it kata topics hari kata udarka result in the topics of the Lord Satam of the devotees, Siu may be, Sadasi in the assembly of, Dhruvam certainly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Sutta Goswami, O learned Sutta Goswami, please continue to explain such topics to us because we are all eager to hear. Besides that, topics which result in the discussion of the Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Please repeat. O learned Sutta Goswami, please continue to explain such topics to us because we are all eager to hear. Besides that, topics which result in the discussion of the Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Purport. As we have already quoted above from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, even mundane things, if dovetailed in the service of Lord Sri Krishna are accepted as transcendental. For example, the epics or the histories of Ramayana and Mahabharata, which are specifically recommended for the less intelligent classes, women, Shudras, and unworthy sons of the higher castes, are also accepted in Vedic literature as Vedic literature. Because they are compiled in connection with the activities of the Lord. Mahabharata is accepted as the fifth division of the Vedas after its first four divisions, namely Samayaja, Rik, and Atharva. The less intelligent do not accept Mahabharata as part of the Vedas, but great sages and authorities accept it as the fifth division of the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita is also part of the Mahabharata, and is full of the Lord's instruction for the less intelligent class of men. Some less intelligent men say that Bhagavad Gita is not meant for householders, but such foolish men forget that Bhagavad Gita was explained to Arjuna, a grihastha, family man, and spoken by the Lord in his role as a grihastha. So Bhagavad Gita, although containing the high philosophy of the Vedic wisdom, is for the beginners in the transcendental science. The Srimad Bhagavatam is for graduates and postgraduates in the transcendental science. Therefore, literatures like Mahabharata, the Puranas, and similar other literatures, which are full of the pastimes of the Lord, are all transcendental literatures, and they should be discussed with full confidence in the society of great devotees. The difficulty is that such literatures, when discussed by professional men, appear to be mundane literature like histories or epics because there are so many historical facts and figures. It is said here, therefore, that such literatures should be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Unless they are discussed by devotees, such literatures cannot be relished by the higher class of men. So the conclusion is that the Lord is not impersonal in the ultimate issue. He is the Supreme Person and He has His different activities. He is the leader of all living entities and He descends at his will and by his personal energy to reclaim the fallen souls. Thus, he plays exactly like the social, political, or religious leaders. Because such roles ultimately culminate in the discussion of topics of the Lord, all such preliminary topics are also transcendental. That is the way of spiritualizing the civic activities of human society. Men have inclinations for studying history and many other mundane literatures, stories, fiction, drama, magazines, newspapers, etc. So let them be dovetailed with the transcendental service of the Lord, and all of them will turn to the topics relished by all devotees. The propaganda that the Lord is impersonal, that he has no activity, and that he is a dumb stone without any name and form has encouraged people to become godless, faithless, demons. And the more they deviate from the transcendental activities of the Lord, the more they become accustomed to mundane activities that only clear their path to hell instead of return them home back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the history of the Pandavas with necessary politics and social activities. And yet Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be the Paramahansa Sanghita, or the Vedic literature meant for the topmost transcendentalist. It is described Param Jnanam, the highest transcendental knowledge. Pure devotees of the Lord are all Paramahansas, and they are like these swans who know the art of sucking milk out of a mixture of milk and water. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Manitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Ugam Guru Devachalam Pangam Langayate Girimat Kibudahamande Sri Guram Dinataranam Paramandama Aravam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. There is a footnote to this purport, and I believe it was by Srila Prabhupada, so we'll read that as well. I don't know if you have it, but at the end of this purport, there is a note. Even 50 years ago, the social structure of all Indians was so arranged that they would not read any literature that was not connected with the activities of the Lord. They would not play any drama not connected with the Lord. They would not organize a fair or ceremony not connected with the Lord. Nor would they visit a place that was not holy and sanctified by the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore, even the common man in the village would talk about Ramayana and Mahabharata, Gita and Bhagavatam, even from his very childhood. But by the influence of the age of Kali, they have been dragged to the civilization of the dogs and hogs, laboring for bread without any sense of transcendental knowledge. Wow, what an incredible verse and purport. So, as we have been discussing the last number of classes, Sudha Goswami was describing many different topics, and from practice of yoga to a worship of different personalities to achieve certain ends. And these topics, according to a mundane person, a materialistic person, would seem not very important, or in many senses disconnected. But here, Shonaka Rishi is making a very, very important point. That he's saying, please continue explaining these topics because we're eager to hear. Now, are they eager to hear about certain demigods or the mundane practice of yoga or social systems, how to work in material life? No. Instead, they're eager to hear these topics because Suta Goswami is, although he's speaking about many, many different subject matters, he knows how to bring it home, so to speak. Just like when we have to go out and discuss with people, and we may, especially the Sankirtan devotees, the preachers, when they go out and they have to deal with the conditioned souls, they have to discuss in a very intelligent and an almost calculating way. Oh yeah, what do you do? Oh well, that's pretty cool. Where are you from? Etc. Sankirtan devotees have experience. And anyone who's gone out on preaching activities knows that the expert preacher knows how to engage the person, but he knows how to turn it around and bring it to the, bring it home, so to speak. Bring it to the bottom line. And that is getting them to take this literature. Or getting that person to chant Hare Krishna. Or getting that person to, at least in some way, in a moment, at least for a moment, to become favorable. Even if it's they just touch, or just in an indirect way, may hear something. So Suta Goswami is so expert here, and these sages are appreciating that. Please, keep on describing these things. Besides that, again, topics which result in the discussion of the Lord should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. And Prabhupada clarifies that here in the purport. He qualifies that line after line, where he describes how important it is that one should hear in the association of devotees, especially elevated subject matter. But of course, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age is such that even the most unqualified person, the most unqualified person is qualified to get his mercy. Even the most unqualified person is qualified to hear the name or be given a chance to hear about Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains here, as we have already quoted from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, even mundane things, if dovetailed in the service of the Lord, are accepted as transcendental. Anashaktasya vishayanyataraham upayunjita nirbande krishna sambande yuktim varagyam uchate. Rupa Goswami explains that the devotee may not be attached to anything. But he accepts anything in relation to Krishna. And this is being rightly situated in being above possessiveness. In other words, we're prepared in Krishna consciousness to accept whatever Krishna may offer, whatever facility he offers, whatever opportunity he offers, whatever ability he offers. We're willing to accept that, although we're not attached. This is the proper mentality. This is being properly situated in being above possessiveness. Mahaprabhuta Bhakta Gana Vairagya Pradhan Yaha Dekateha Kara. What is that? I forget the last line. Mahaprabhuta Bhakta Gana Vairagya Pradhan Yaha Dekitara Kahana. Anyway, I can't remember the last couple words. But it's a very beautiful verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which explains that the basic principle which sustains the lives of the devotees of Mahaprabhu is this principle of being non-possessive or being renounced. It's the basic principle which sustains the devotees' lives. And when the this is again a very important principle, because even in devotional life, one may be offered certain facilities, or maybe offered certain opportunities, and still yet remain detached. And when Mahaprabhu sees this consciousness or this mentality in a devotee, he becomes extremely satisfied. Just as we see in the example of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, although he was a great, he was a very learned person, still submitted himself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave up all of that, all those worldly attachments, all those worldly designations, and simply surrendered himself. Even when he gave his, what was that, the blanket or his chadar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became even more satisfied. Oh, he's detaching himself from these things which tend to cloud our consciousness. Or he was also especially satisfied by the renunciation of Raghunath Das, who step by step, everyone knows the pastime, how he was, he left his family but was given a certain funds on a regular basis, and with those funds he would use them to hold his festivals. Is the was that Chidadahi festival for the purpose of again satisfying the Lord. The devotees are accepting whatever may come. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. But then when he stopped his festival, he was inquiring, where is Raghunath? And, oh, Raghunath has stopped doing this. And instead, he's gone to the back of the kitchen and he's begging for, or he's waiting for whatever can come from the cooks, whatever leftovers are there. And then he stopped doing that. And then finally, it comes to the point where he's eating whatever the cows are leaving in the gutters outside the temple there in Puri. It's very nice how you can go in the back there, and you'll notice how in the back of the kitchens there's this sort of a trough. And when they cook their items, they wash their pots, and everything comes out that trough and out into the perimeter of the temple, and the cows come and eat those grains. So whatever they're rejecting, Raghunath would eat that. So the Lord is very satisfied by this basic principle. Even when Bali Maharaj, when he was approached by Vamanadeva, and the Lord took his first two steps and asked him, what am I to do with the third? He offered his head. And the Lord was so pleased by this that he purchased him. The Lord was purchased by his surrender. He's glorified for his Atmanivedana, giving everything, offering everything to the Lord. So in this way, the Lord is satisfied when the devotees are practicing that basic principle. We're willing to accept whatever Krishna offers. We use it in his service, not as some personal facility. And so this is the proper properly being or being situated properly in non-possessiveness. On the other hand, those one who rejects everything without knowledge of how it's connected to Krishna and a personality of Godhead is not complete in his renunciation, not complete in his understanding. So, Srila Prabhupada is making this point that everything can be dovetailed in the service of the Lord and accepted and understood to be transcendental. Even, as Prabhupada gives the example here of the Ramayana Mahabharata, which to, again, many may seem to be mundane because there's family relationships, there's war, there's politicking going on and this and that, there's so many names and circumstances. So to many, this may seem mundane to the less intelligent. But because these epics contain the activities and words of the of Lord Ram and Lord Krishna, they're accepted as transcendental by the learned persons. But the less intelligent here, as Prabhupada points out, they don't accept these things. They think they're mundane, or that the personality of Godhead is impersonal, that he's just some fictional character. He's a it's a mundane person in some way, fictional or what's the word, mythology. But such less intelligent persons cannot appreciate, because of their offenses, of course, but they can't understand or they can't see how Krishna, when he comes into this world, everything he does, whether it be acting as Prabhupada points out here, he takes on different roles, right? He acts, whether it be social, political, or religious, he takes on different characters. Those characters, those roles are not mundane, but they're transcendental. Well, some say that Bhagavad Gita is not meant for householders. It's meant for the Brahmin class, right? Because the others, the other orders, social orders, they can't understand this. It's too elevated. And of course, their conclusion is that the Lord is impersonal. He's just some character. Therefore, literatures like Mahabharata, Puranas, and similar other literatures, which are full of the pastimes of the Lord, are all transcendental literatures, and should be discussed with full confidence in the society of great devotees. Just as here, these sages are inquiring from Suta Goswami with full confidence that, of course, their understanding who is Krishna, and so whatever Suta Goswami is giving in the different answering the different questions that are being asked of him, whatever descriptions he's giving, whatever answers he's giving, they know that he's ultimately going to bring it back to understanding Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a very wonderful instruction in the Vedic literatures. Yatre yante katam rishtas trishnaya prasamuyata. It's very nicely described that whenever topics of the spiritual world, the transcendental world, are discussed, the audience forgets all material hankerings. It's a beautiful instruction. Whenever topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the audience loses all material hankerings, at least for a little while. At least for a little while. Which helps us to understand that the repetition of transcendental knowledge discussion has to be there. Right? Just like every morning we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the repetition has to be there. So similarly, whenever these topics are discussed, they should be discussed regularly, and the audience will forget their material hankerings and no longer envious of others and suffer fear and anxiety. Beautiful instruction given that simply by hearing this transcendental knowledge from the proper authorities, we can understand how the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Ramayana, the corollaries are all, because they're related to Krishna, they have supreme importance and benefit, for that matter. And of course, the question would may arise that, well, why should we listen to this, or why should we hear this constantly? Shyat Krishna Nami Charitari Satapya Vidya. It's because these narrations, these discussions, are sweet like a sugar candy. It's unfortunate that one who's afflicted by the jantas, whose tongue is afflicted by the jantas of avidya, can't appreciate it. But it's wonderful. It's incredible that by the constant repetition, just like the constant taking of the sugar candy, it relieves one of that jantas condition. By the constant repetition, hearing this transcendental knowledge, it relieves one from the illusion of this material world, from the different material conditions and suffering situations. And Prabhupada points out here, therefore, such literature should be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Unless they are discussed by devotees, such literatures cannot be relished by the higher classes of men. In other words, the desired result is not achieved. There's a very beautiful sampradaya vihina ye manchaste nishalamata. Unless you hear from the proper authority, the desired result, the benefit of that chanting of those mantras is not achieved. So one has to hear, as Prabhupada points out here, such literatures cannot be relished, which is the desired result, right? By the unless one is discussing in the association of the devotees. So one has to be very careful. And there's so many things here that Srila Prabhupada is making point, and we could go on and on. Every line is so full of so many things, but we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Mara?
In that sense, that when a person is doing an act which Krishna not only approves but and appreciates, but actually desires it. So when Krishna expresses his desire that Arjuna should kill Duryodhana and all of his particular followers because they represented evil and prevented Yudhishthira from doing the job that he could naturally do, we see that this is religion. So you can be driving a car. If you drive the car simply to do some sense pleasure, or go to the beach and sun yourself, or just enjoy, that's a mundane, not only mundane, but it's actually a useless and even harmful act. But when one uses the car, for example, to go and buy some foodstuffs which he's going to feed the Lord, then the car becomes a transcendental object. And that's how, as Prabhupada said over, and you have said it so nicely, is that mundane objects become transcendental when they are put in the use and with the approval of the Supreme Lord. In other words, when we're doing something for his pleasure, then it becomes spiritual. So spiritual means that which gives pleasure to Krishna, no matter where it is, outside on a battlefield or in a church or wherever. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Prabhupada finishes his purport by saying that the devotees of the Lord are all like paramahansas or swans because they know the art of sucking milk out of the mixture of milk and water. So the devotees know how to separate the most valuable thing, and that is to be engaged in, direct that energy and that heart, that heartfelt feeling in your consciousness toward serving Krishna or satisfying Krishna. It's not just the act, but we're thinking, why am I doing this? It's for satisfying Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.
Got